us the wisdom necessary to advance the kingdom with our time, talents, and resources, our treasures, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you have a Bible this morning, I want you to open up to two places. The first is going to be Isaiah 42. The second is going to be Romans chapter 5. Put a little note or something in Romans 5. We'll eventually get there. We're going to take communion this morning. I know there's some communion cups out. If we run short, I'm going to ask that you share those little wafers and those cups of juice this morning. Yeah, some of you are with me catching up. I'm just kidding. Have you seen those little cups? Welcome to Echo Hills, if this is your first Sunday. Thanks for joining us. Yes, those little cups. I think we have enough this morning, but the order, we've had to put in an order, and we'll take care of it. And so we'll take communion in a little bit, and we'll make sure you guys all get a cup. But last week, we started to lay some foundation as we come into 2024 about the vision and mission of Echo Hills Church. And real quickly, I want to give you just a little history lesson about who we are, because none of what I'm going to share is actually new. But if you've been with us these last four and a half years, some of it might seem a little new. But in the heartbeat of who we are, this is what we believe, and it's where we want to go. So 4 years ago, September 29th, 2019, some of you were with us, Hope Chapel, the church I pastored, and Valley Christian Center, which was pastored by Pastor Mike Richardson, we merged. Prior to that merge, meaning becoming one church, we changed our name. Obviously, we stayed here. Valley Christian Center had already invited Hope Chapel up. We were using Sunday nights for a little over 2 years. In that process, the Lord began to show us that there is a marriage, there's a union, there's a coming together in the Spirit to become Echo Hills Church. Now, in that process, we all went through our emotions, and some of us stuck it out, some of us didn't, but you're here today, so God bless you. But you are part of a generational inheritance that God is wanting to do. And I know it's hard sometimes to see it and to understand it, and it's hard for me sometimes to even remember the promises of God, but this is where stewardship happens. And so we tell these stories in order to help spur our faith on and ignite and be a catalyst to greater faith. So we spent a year in prayer. Some of you came to our roundtable meetings. Some of you sat in sessions where we had these big white sheets all in our fireside room, and we went around and we put post-it notes and we dreamed and we had a vision, and we allowed the Lord to speak to us about what He was cultivating. And along the way, you heard our testimonies of where we came from and our gift mixes and the things that God had designed me to be and Pastor Mike to be and what we were going to be together. And we stepped into that. And on September 29th, 2019, we held a service in this very place at 10 a.m. and we became Echo Hills Church. And I would have thought, we would have thought, that all of a sudden, Lord, we're going to step into the glory. Like, it's just going to get super easy. It's going to be so wondrous. The angels have shown up. The sounds are breaking forth. Trumpets are declaring. The flags are being raised. We've all got t-shirts on. We're like in the midst of, oh, thank you, Lord. Because many of you know that it wasn't easy to get there. Many of you know my story, and some of you who have been with me for years know that leaving downtown Lewiston, leaving that vision, setting our sights on a new place because our building was being condemned, the city was kicking us out, our attempt to buy the Liberty Theater had failed, and we were in a journey of wonder. Lord, where are we headed? I'm wondering what's next for us. And then He plants us here on Sunday nights, and I'm thinking, we have walked into hell, because nothing against Valley Christian Center or this location, but in my spirit, as I perceived the things that the Lord was showing me, I had no vision for being in this place. There wasn't. It wasn't my gift mix. It wasn't my call. It wasn't what I wanted. But what the Lord began to show me and what the Lord began to ask of me and ask of many of you is, Jeff, you've seen in part. Now I need you to see another part. You've been doing faithfully your assignments, but I've got a mandate. And the assignment is changing a little bit. And so we walk through that, right? Pastor Mike did the same thing. His elders, his staff, our church council, many of you who have been with us, you had to walk through it. And it wasn't easy. But there was a belief that, Lord, September 29th, 2019. It was the Day of Trumpets. We chose that day specifically. It's this belief that we have, new beginnings, new year, all of that, that somehow it would just be glorious. Well, if any of you remember the timeline of the calendar, March 16th, 2020, we gathered here on a Sunday night because we were kicking off a United in Prayer movement. And we had asked a bunch of other churches to come and join us. March 16th, Sunday night, come and join us. It's a precursor to Easter. The week before that, there was this little rumbling of COVID-19. I'm like, COVID-19? What is COVID-19? Who cares about COVID-19? We're doing United in Prayer. We are launching this. This is part of the vision for our valley to unite churches. It's been our heart. It's what we're doing. Sunday morning, we gathered. We had heard of other churches already not gathering. Some of you, again, started to wrestle with the reality of sickness and symptoms and the reports. And if we all look back now, we all know that some things were really off. Maybe one or two things were right, but there was a whole lot of things that were really off, depending on where you fall. Yeah, amen. I'll be careful. But we had churches not show that night because they had bought in immediately to this fear of, hey, we can't be together. And so out of the 8 churches we invited, we had 3. And we had many people that didn't show. Because all of a sudden now we're being told we can't be together. We have to separate 6 feet. And this was early on. And this is how the tactic of the enemy works against vision and mission. Is he plants fear that creates separation. So if you're looking for a vision to be activated in your life, go after the 2 things that are standing in its way, fear and separation. Meaning to overcome it, you got to start connecting and you got to start activating faith. And nobody's asking you to do that on your own. If anything, it's something the Holy Spirit, we need to become more dependent on. So here we are, March, middle of March. The following Sunday, we decide to meet one more time. And then all of a sudden the pressure came. So we thought, you know what? If we're not going to meet in the building, we'll meet outside in the parking lot. God bless Jennifer Pelletier, who came alongside and said, hey, Jeff, we can do this. We can meet in the parking lot. You know what? It's awkward. It's weird. We're all wondering. We're thinking this will just last a couple weeks. So we hiked out to the parking lot, and we did these incredible drive-by services. And car blessing. And they were fun. They were unique. They were out of the box. We were trying to navigate and understand what to do. Now, if I look back, I can look at some of that and go, oh, that was a little funny, Lord. What were we thinking? But then other parts, I was like, oh, Lord, don't miss this. There was a creativity that started to break forth in the presence of opposition. See, some of us, we're pushing against opposition, going, Lord, we don't want anything in our life that's oppositional. We want peace. We want no offense. We want no bitterness. But there's also a grace and the Spirit who knows how to punch through and get over or get around or get beyond the opposition. And he's creative about it. So creative that we had these incredible parking lot experiences. And we decided, forget sitting in your car. Let's just get out. We had people marching around the parking lot, and so we stayed out all summer. And then we decided we'd come back in. All the while, please don't forget, like, Lord, you authored this. Where's the glory? Where's all the vision that we'd put on those boards? Where's all the dreams being fulfilled? Where's the steps that we were going to do? Where's the discipleship? Where's the launching? Where's the schools of ministry? Where are all these things that we dreamed? We got so far that we were going to turn our back property into a Frisbee golf course. Frisbee golf? Yeah, Frisbee golf course. And started to make phone calls. Looking at what would it take to turn that property into a Frisbee golf course? Frisbee golf. Why does it not sound right? But just doesn't sound right. But Frisbee golf. If you don't know what that is, don't talk to me about it. Talk to somebody that knows what's going on. But I was like, yes, that's great. We were going to have these giant food truck gatherings out on our property and invite people up. It's now happening up at the fairgrounds on the first Tuesday of every month during the summer. It's awesome. It's crazy to go to, but it's awesome. Like we were holding on to vision. that all of a sudden now pressure and opposition is causing us to stay so focused on the moment that a lot of that stuff just began to wane and almost seem impossible. And my confession to you is that as we came into 2023, Pastor Mike and I had made his decision, along with Josh and Jennifer, who are part of our core team there at that time, that, Lord, this is the year that we go back. We go back and revisit. And you know what the enemy hates? Is you thinking that you have a right to the promises that God has given you. Who do you think you are? And it was one thing after another that just became, and again, our issue isn't against people. Our battle isn't against flesh and blood. It's a spiritual battle. Now we take it out on people or we feel like it's from people, but it's a spiritual battle. So much so that, again, we got rocked this summer when Pastor Mike resigned. So much so that I began to wonder, Lord, is this even where you want me? Is this where you want us? Whatever happened, Lord, to that which we birthed in those fireside room gatherings, in those roundtable meetings, in nights of tears and wondering and letting go and mulling over, like, is this the Lord? Is this the Lord? And I'll confess to all of you, because I'm not ashamed of it. There was a part of me that said, Lord, I'll just go downtown and I'll stand on the street corner where I started and I'll ask anybody to join me, because that seems a whole lot better and easier than trying to move forward right now. And God bless my wife, who I've confessed to all of you, so you all know this. Her great idea was, hey, Jeff, it's time to move to Hawaii. Like, let's pack up and go. And who can blame her, right? Exactly. Who could blame her? And here we are sitting today, knowing that, Jacqueline and I, knowing that we wouldn't want to be anywhere that the Lord hadn't called us. And in the process of transition, and we talked through transition in August, and we began to lay some foundational truth about the kingdom of heaven is at hand. One of the things the Lord did for me, and therefore he's going to do it for us, is he took me back to that year-long process of what he was forming in a revelation of what I see Echo Hills becoming, of what I need Echo Hills to be at this time and in this place, what Echo Hills needs to become in order to reach our community and beyond. And we've brought it out in little bits and bites, but because we've had to navigate realities and circumstances and learn to submit through mutual submission with Pastor Mike and myself and our leaders and our elders and our lead team. It's been a season of almost like the boat is rocking and it's the lip of it is about taking in a little water, and you wonder, oh, if we go a little bit further, it's going to pass the tipping point and it's just going to tip and end up upside down. And if any of you have ever been on a boat where, or you've seen the movies where you like run to the other side to make sure it tips back and then everybody's too far on that side, that's how it's felt like the last year for me. It's like this seasick motion of just running side to side and no forward movement, because we're just trying to steady ourselves. Now, I know that's not only me. I know many of you are doing that, and not just in the context of church and Echo Hills, but in your life. That's a word for some of you this morning, that God is asking you to stop the back and forth motion of trying to steady and balance your life and trust him. If you'll stand in the middle, he'll bring it to peace and he'll get you moving forward. Amen. Because I get it. Nobody wants to sink. Chad spurred a word on this morning in me. The issue is perception, and it's a depth perception issue, because we all have vision. And the vision that we're going to lay out over the next few weeks, and what we started with last week out of Philippians 2, is that there's this need for humility. There's this need to understand that it's not about me, but there is a we involved as well. We are going to see the kingdom of heaven on earth. We are going to be called out to advance his kingdom. We are going to preach the gospel. We are going to prophesy. We are going to step up in our kingly anointing. Do we honor the prophet? Yes. Do we honor the apostle? We do. Do we honor the evangelist? Yes. But their role is to equip us to go do the work of the ministry. What we need is for your neighbor. What we need is for every generation represented to get a revelation of what Jesus is asking of us. And yes, it may be of me, but I can never lose sight of the fact that it's of us, for us, because of him. So taking you back to those round tables, we sat there and we began to discuss a name change. We knew that Valley Christian Center, Hope Chapel, part of what God was doing was he was re-identifying. And many of you know Scott Trotter and Tracy Trotter. Tracy Trotter comes to us and says, I have this song. And I feel like it's a song that's going to embody who we're going to become. And I honestly couldn't tell you what the song is. I listened to it many times. I don't remember the title. But there was one word in that song, and it was the word echo. And when I asked her, like, well, what is it about the song that resonates with you? She goes, Jeff, it's the echo. It's the echo of heaven. And I thought, that's a terrible name for a church. Echo of heaven? Like, who on earth wants to be covered? And then Scott Trotter, God bless Scott Trotter. Scott and Tracy have moved to Florida. They're an incredible couple. You might see him around once in a while because he comes here and does a little bit of work. Scott's like, Jeff, we should call ourselves Echo Hills. Like Echo Hills. I'm like our street name? And he goes, what? Like Echo Hills Drive? And that's just Scott Trotter, oblivious to some simple realities. He's like, we march down to the corner. He's like, no. I'm like, Scott, Echo Hills Drive. You turn onto it all the time. We've been up here for 2 years now. Echo Hills Drive. He's like, no. I was like, let's go for a walk. Echo Hills Drive. Somewhere there's a picture of the two of us standing with Echo Hills Drive in the street sign. And he's like, Jeff, I had no idea. And I was like, I believe that. I just believe it. And we began to mull it over, like, Lord, echo. Now, here's the thing, again, why this is important. Because oftentimes we think of an echo as something that I am repeating or I am declaring and I want someone else to repeat. And oftentimes an echo can carry a nature to it that is more my opinion, more my offense, more my thought. And it's like, well, we don't want to echo humanity. We don't want to echo the nature of sin. We don't want to echo someone. We want to glorify Jesus. And so I went and asked the Lord, like, Lord, and Pastor Mike, along with us, asked the Lord, Lord, what is it that we're really called to echo? And so Isaiah 42 is where we landed on verse 12, if you want to take a look at this. This first translation is New King James. It says, let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praises in the coastlands. Like, this scripture began to resonate in us. This scripture we prayed over, we laid out. We had little diagrams and pictures on PowerPoints. We began to wonder, like, Lord, our mission, our vision is to make a noise, to give him glory, to declare his praise. And God bless Scott Trotter and Pastor Mike, because when they got together and they started praying over this verse, they looked in the Message. I don't usually look in other translations, and the Message isn't one that I normally go to, but here's the translation in the Message. Make God's glory resound, echo his praises from coast to coast. So that immediately became, well, Jeff, it's in the Bible. We got to go with it. It's like, that's the sign from God. And I didn't need a sign because I knew that, Lord, the truth that we want to carry on and the truth that we want to be a part of moving forward is the nature of heaven, is the sound of heaven that has been resonating since the garden, since the beginning. It's in the foundation before creation of the Father, Son, and Spirit that there is a plan and purpose for us, and that we are a part of His glory, and we get to declare it, we get to experience it, we get to see it. And now we have a mission that's connected to a vision to go with His praise on our lips, to go and declare His praises to the ends of the earth. And so the vision that we gave you last week is that you would echo, that everywhere we go, that you would recognize, Lord, these are your people, that this is your place, and it's all about your purpose, Jesus. And that vision, that revelation, isn't just about me in this moment. It's about us doing our part to advance the kingdom. And the reason it's defined as a vision is it's something you begin to see. It's something that you begin to look for. Meaning, if you walk into a situation where the Lord isn't being identified as the Lord of the people, where that place isn't glorifying the Lord, or where the purposes of Jesus aren't manifesting, then you have the ability to now step into your identity in Christ and establish the kingdom of heaven there. But you've got to be able to see it. You've got to be able to perceive it. You've got to be able to understand that everything in creation belongs to the Lord. That it's all going to give Him glory one day. And until it does, you and I are on mission to be aware of, Lord, the people in this place, they need to know that you're in this place. And this place with its people need to know that Jesus loves them and has a purpose for them. That is true from the garden till the end of days. That is what you and I get to be a part of resonating and resounding with, bringing the declarations of the Lord's glory. And yes, it's big, and yes, all of a sudden now we can begin to recognize that there are specific attributes and parts to it that we need to teach on and discover and get into the Word on. But the big picture, when you're looking for the Lord in a situation, when you're looking and wondering, Lord, where are you at? You and I would be equipped with this revelation that, Lord, this is your place. That I am your son or daughter. And that, Lord, it's going to be about your purpose, Jesus. And the sooner we can get in line with that, the sooner we can comprehend that, the sooner we can move into that, all of a sudden now the glory of the Lord, you just heard some words about the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as it covers the earth and the seas, is going to be known. It's going to come in like a flood. What if you're the flood that gets to step into a situation and echo and declare what has been echoing and being declared from the beginning of time? I don't want to steal any of Jacqueline's thunder because I know she's sitting on a teaching. But stop and think for a minute about your brother, David. King David. Think about your brother, Moses. Think about your sister, Mary. In Christ, we are brothers and sisters. How often do you think that King David is your brother? Like your brother cut off a giant's head. That's your story to tell. I've got a brother that took off a giant's head. I've got a brother that became king. I had a sister that gave birth to the Son of God. I mean, your next family outing, family reunion, you might need to educate some of your family about a brother and sister they didn't know you had. They didn't know they had. That's right, Josh. Exactly. We don't think in those terms. Now, any of you who've been in church for a while, handful of decades ago, we made this really weird, right? Like, hey, Sister Tiffany, so glad you're at church today, Sister Tiffany. Oh, Brother Josh, thanks for being here. Keep it together, Brother Josh. Brother Ron, I don't know, Brother Ron. Have you guys met Brother Ron yet? And we started labeling people. And that, there's nothing wrong with that, but it became entitlement. It became distinction and separation. And then it moved on to, now we're titling and labeling other things that aren't right. But the truth is, in fact, right now, turn to your neighbor and just recognize them, either as a brother or sister. Hey, Sister Jacqueline. Sister Jacqueline, come on. Come on. Right? Our greeters next week will greet you at the door. What's up, brother, sister? Sister? You know the other reason why that works? Is because if you don't know somebody's name. Hey, totally. Hey, sister. How are you? Brother, how you doing? Can't remember your name, but I'll call you brother. So if you ever hear me say that, chances are it's I don't remember your name. Let me prepare you for communion. Because our vision requires us to not just declare the name of the Lord, to not just give him glory, but to know his glory. And Jesus wanted us to know his glory. And he reminded us that you're going to need remembrance to know his glory. And in the glory, we get to reign in life. And there's this phrase that we see in Romans 5. And so if you stuck a little piece of paper in Romans, turn to Romans 5. Because we're called to reign in life. To rule and reign in such a manner that the purpose of Jesus resonates, resounds, and is glorified through what we do and how we do it. Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense death reigned, so that would be Adam, through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Now, we're breaking into a context here that I want you to read this week. Many of you know that we quote Romans chapter 5, 1 through 5, all the time about the nature of hope and the building of hope. But Paul is breaking down an understanding of the significance of Jesus Christ, the significance of his sacrifice, the nature by which you and I are saved, the nature by which we then have eyes to see where God is or isn't, how he's moving and how he wants to move. So you and I need to make sure that we're reigning in life, that we've accepted and acknowledged and we're allowing the fullness of Jesus Christ to work in us and through us by his Spirit so that we can then step into a situation and declare, Lord, let your people be blessed. Lord, let your purposes be known. And Father, let this place glorify you. And it doesn't matter what order. You might be a land person, and so you steward and recognize land things before you recognize people things. That's more me. I'll walk into a land issue or a setting, and I'll discern the issues of the land before I even see the people. Some of you are very people-oriented, so you're going to walk into a place and recognize the people, the condition of them, the need they have, the calling on their life, the absence of calling, the sin, whatever it is, and you get to release the blessing of the Lord on the people by also recognizing that, Lord, their land needs to change and their understanding of their purpose and identity in Christ also needs to change. Because we go from revelation to this activation to this participation. And next week we're gonna hit on activation. But right now you and I need to know the why. And here's five things that we're going to take into our communion that I want to just get you thinking on through revelation. The first is, and this is in the context, last week I gave you, I know some of you pushed back with me, I gave you, how do you kill a church? And I had like 12 things that, you know, this is how you kill a church. And I'm like, Jeff, where's the positive side? It's like, well, it's in next week's teaching, so make sure you come back. So we looked at how you kill a church. You don't participate, you don't evangelize, you criticize, all those things. But how do you experience the life in the church? How do you encounter what God intended for his body? And you and I need to make sure we know the why, so that then, however, through the what and the how, we're not lost in tradition. We're not lost in performance. We're caught up in the why. And the why this morning for us in our mission and in our vision is the Word of God. The Word of God is our foundation. The Word of God is what sets us free. The Word of God is what illuminates. It's the lamp unto our feet. And as we prepare to take communion, I want you to ask the Lord, Father, is there anything that I need to repent of and make right regarding my relationship with the Word. And the Father's response will not come with condemnation. It will come with this invitation of conviction, saying, hey, I want you in the Word more. I don't want you just reading it. I don't want you just collecting Bibles on the shelf. I want you to be in the awareness of my presence while in the Word. We're going to preach the Word. We're going to teach the Word. We're going to build upon the Word. And if the Word is not present, then we do not have a standard of truth. So that's how important the Word is. Some of our vision and ability to move forward is going to be adjusting our proximity to the Word of God. The church used to be really good, the church at large, and bringing life to it by memorizing Scripture. We're not doing a whole lot of memorization when I talk to people or ask. So the Word of God is going to be our foundation. The next is the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the Spirit. We do not want to grieve or quench Him. We don't want to displace Him. He is not some third wheel. It is the Spirit of Jesus that has been imparted to you and I to walk in the likeness of Jesus. And so His presence, His power, His glory, His purposes need to be first and foremost. If anything, if you want to read the Word, if you struggle to read the Word, start asking the Holy Spirit to give you understanding of the Word. Because He is the Word. He is the Spirit of the Word in the triune nature of God. Next is that we have to have a worship lifestyle. And I'm not talking about singing songs on Sunday. A worship lifestyle is knowing who you are in Christ, giving God worth, and serving others. The idea of a worship lifestyle is that you don't turn it on and turn it off. Everything you do is unto the Father. Even the funny stuff, like are you taking care of your health? What are you watching? What are you ingesting? What are you putting out there? Where are you going? How are your thoughts? What are your boundaries? All those things are cultivated in a posture of the Word and the power of the Holy Spirit cultivating worship. And these will be things that we dive into, but in the vision of where we're going, of what God wants us to become as an expression of His kingdom on earth, we're going to be worshipers. And our hope, and I heard it this morning because I felt it and I could see it and I could hear it, is that worship brought a revelation. So we want to know why God, and He's saying, worship me and I'll show you. Worship me and I'll show you. Don't come complaining, don't come groveling, don't come begging. Worship. Worship me and I'll show you. The last two here, community, fellowship, kind of the same word, but I wanted you to see them both because we use them interchangeably. You need community. Jennifer talked about the Friday night bunko and connection. That was community. Some of you probably were really uncomfortable sitting like sardines. But that's community. That's doing life together. That's the fellowship of the saints. That's the fellowship of brothers and sisters. You and I have community with patriarchs and matriarchs that are talked about as if they're Old Testament stories, when in reality they're part of the great cloud of witnesses. Meaning we tell a story about Moses. We tell a story about Samson. We tell a story about Elijah and Elisha. Not realizing our brothers and sisters are part of our community. Their story is becoming part of our story and our story part of their story. Because of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. That's what's echoing through time. That's what's increasing in its volume and its nature. Now, of course, I don't identify with my brother David and the whole Bathsheba thing, but, you know, just kidding. I do way more than I want to confess. Maybe that didn't sound right. Okay. We won't go there. We'll close with this last thing, and it's the ability to love others. Like, we have to love them. It's a commandment. The vision that is moving through time that you and I get to be a part of is seeing how God can transform our lives to love others. That's the we. to love the sinner. To love the sinner that we don't understand, but know that somehow God still loves them. And before you go off the rails and start to cycle through your you know, phone list of contacts or people you removed from your contacts, God isn't asking you to love them in your own strength. God isn't asking us to love others through what we can muster up. By the Spirit of God, we are made able to love. And some of you, God is going to ask you to revisit developing a love for others that you thought, I want nothing to do with them. I finally got them out of my life. And it's not that he'd bring them back into your life, but he wants you to be able to see beyond that person or that moment. And I want you to confess during our time of communion this morning before you leave. If loving others is hard, and I know immediately you can go to, well, they didn't love me. You know what? We're not dealing with their action and their sin. We're dealing with ours. Let God deal with them. You deal with yours. Lord, forgive me that I didn't know how to respond to their hurt and to their bitterness, to their accusations. Help me love them. Show me how to love them. And repent. And confess. And commune with God the Father, Son, and Spirit in such a manner that all of a sudden life begins to bubble up. We had the kids up here. And next week we'll talk about activation. And the following week we'll talk about participation. But I'm asking you to get a revelation today about loving kids. Specifically kids. Specifically young kids. Specifically nursery kids. Elementary kids. High school and junior high kids. That you would ask the Lord to give you a love for them. That first and foremost, you'd start to intercede for them. And then as you get a love for them and you get this activated vision, revelation, that you begin to recognize, I have something to offer them. Right now, the church at large is not doing a very good job to counter the degree to which our culture is indoctrinating our children. It's a tidal wave, and we're bailing out the boat with a little Dixie cup. It's not working. But that's not a cry or a condemnation to, hey, suck it up and do something about it. It's an invitation to say, okay, Lord, what do we need to do differently? What can we do differently? What's my part? What's my role? And I'm going to ask that in your time of communion, when you're done, you're free to go. I'll break you loose here in a moment. You can grab communion cups. They're up front. They're on the tables in the back. That this week, you expect the Holy Spirit to show you, to give you a vision that involves his word, the power of his Spirit, the worship that we're called into, the community of faith, not just Echo Hills, but of faith, and the ability to love others, especially a generation that needs moms and dads, not because their mom and dad isn't good enough, but because one or two in the home is not enough to challenge or push back what the enemy is unleashing from hell. And our response isn't going to, you know, we'll pick up our swords and we'll storm when it's time. But love. Love is what's going to change and draw men and women. So would you stand with me? If you have not grabbed a communion cup this morning, they're spread out. We'll make sure you get some. I'm going to ask that you just partner up You can pray with your spouse. You can invite somebody else to join you. I don't know if there's some house music or something, Jacqueline, if you want to jump on the keys. Thank you for enduring this morning, pressing in, leaning in. I pray that right now, Lord, there'd be an activation of the revelation that you are pouring out. That, Father, we are part of an ongoing sound, the sound of heaven, that we are part of your Spirit moving through the earth, moving through time, moving through the generations. And that, Lord, by your strength, by your grace, by your power, we identify with you, Jesus Christ, the one who made it righteous. We are no longer an old creation, but we are a new creation in Christ. So we thank you for the transformation of our mindsets. We thank you for you, Holy Spirit, who are empowering us and giving us the ability to love. Father, we ask for forgiveness this morning in these specific areas. Prompt us and move us. For we want to be a people that move throughout the earth going, Lord, this is your place. These are your people. And it's all about your purpose, Jesus. And we'll be able to do that more and more as we humbly submit ourselves to you, Lord. And so thank you. And Lord, I thank you that you hear each and every prayer that's going to go up here in the next few moments. That by your blood we are washed whiter than the snow. By your body hanging on a cross, all sin was nailed to that cross with you. Amen.